Brethren, we are, as you know, living in challenging times. I don't mind telling you that I grieve a lot, not about these times, but I grieve because there's too many people that are asleep in the Church of God. There are a lot of people sleeping. And I want to do my part. And I know I come short many times in many areas. But I want to do my part to wake some people up. I'm afraid that they're going to sleep too long. They're going to be drowsy from taking naps, and they're going to miss the things that God is offering them at this time. Where do we go from here? What lessons are we to learn during these times we are living in now? And I think about them at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm just thinking about the church and the things that we need to do differently to be closer to God than we have. We need to stop taking naps. We need to wake up and look at the situation that surrounds us in this life. The sermon title for today is Choosing Life, The Gift of God. Choosing Life, The Gift of God. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Why didn't they answer Elijah? It was because so many of them were asleep. So many of them had chose a different way of life. So many of them was not thinking about choosing the right way of life. You know, there will come a time in each of our lives, brethren, when we will have to make a choice between the comfort of our present existence and following God into an unknown, just as many of our forefathers did in the Bible that we read about. We know that Noah, Abraham, Lot, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. The list could go on and on and on. But each one of these men, you know, they had a lot of belongings, a lot of personal things, pleasant lifestyle. But they left all of these behind to follow God. Yet they were motivated by God as well to leave these things behind. And this is what we must do. We must leave things behind that we want to hold on to that hinder us from spiritual growth. And it's hard. It's hard, brethren, to let go some things because human nature wants to hold on to them. In the beginning, at creation, all sin is deemed as worthy of death. Every sin is a capital offense in creation. God was not obligated in any way to give life to you and me. Life is a gift from God that puts us under obligation. And that obligation is stated very clearly in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. But then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. What an awesome gift of responsibility that God gave human mankind to be caretakers of this vast universe that he created. This is what God had in mind. And I don't know, scriptures doesn't tell us how long Jesus Christ and God the Father thought about this creation that they put together. It could have been eons and eons of years. We don't know. But you look at God's creation, everything that God has created is created for a purpose, is created that everything works according to his will. Sometimes I wonder why some little things like a mosquito what good is a mosquito? I don't know. God knows. I see the birds flying through the air. A lot of them zooming in, you know, catching them in the air. I don't know. It could be food for the birds. I don't know. But everything you see, all the little teeny, minute insects that you see crawling through the grass, they're there for a purpose. I hate snakes. I just hate snakes. In fact, I chopped the head off of a black snake this week because it was either I do him in then or he's going to go under the house. So I made the choice real quick. But even a snake, God has a purpose for that snake. But all of God's creation, he put the responsibility for mankind as a caretaker. God did not create Adam and Eve with an evil heart. They were confronted with choices, just as we are today. But they chose the evil way that led to a life of destruction. As I said, brethren, we're living in challenging times. One of the greatest principles in life that we have right now is to choose life. God set before us ways of life. Two ways of life. There's the right way and the wrong way. And with that, he gives us the opportunity to choose. We have the freedom choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Turn over there for just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Again, reading in verse 15. God says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land which you cross over the Jordan to go to possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, verse 20, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." So God commands us to choose life so that we may live fully, both now and in his kingdom. Brethren, God is urging us, every one of us here today, to make serious, deliberate choices towards choosing God's way of life. And I said before, you know, there's too many people sleeping. They're nodding, they're taking naps, they're sleeping. Before God called us, we lived like everyone else, doing the things that were contrary to the way of life. But once we were called and given God's Holy Spirit, now we are able to judge between two ways of life more accurately. We have the power to choose what road we will travel in life. It is our choices whether we sin or live righteously. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 13. Read verse 13 through 15 of James chapter 1. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn," and the NIV says, "when he is dragged away from his own desire and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." The one thing to remember, brethren, sin begins with a choice and continues with the act. To be a Christian and follow after Christ, we must be willing to reject any part of life that is contrary to God. This involves putting to death the works of the flesh and purging the love of the world, including lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Apostle Paul tells us what we must do to avoid these things. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Paul says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Scripture shows that the Spirit of God will lead and guide us in the things that we should do. Let's notice in this same chapter, drop down to verse 24 and 25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let's notice another inspiring chapter on this, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Following the life of Christ has never meant to be an easy way of life. Following Christ's way of life has tremendous benefits, tremendous blessings, but it also has its burdens because of the human nature that is within us. John chapter 16. Let's notice the verse there. John chapter 16. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. That's what I just finished saying a moment ago. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. But let's notice the wording in this verse. It shows us that Christ is not forcing us to follow his way of life. But upon repentance, he will give us, as a free gift, the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in the way of righteousness. The verbs in this verse, to guide, to speak, to tell, shows us that God the Holy Spirit is available to us to guide and lead us, but it doesn't force us. It's there to persuade us. These things God has given us to persuade us, but he doesn't twist. God is not going to twist our arms, bring a lot of, you know, undesirable torture upon us because we don't do the things he's asked us to do. We must make choices in life, brethren. We must learn to listen. We must learn to pay attention to what is written in the Scriptures. asking God to give us a spirit of obedience to His written word. God will not lead us astray, brethren. Our real love, joy, peace, and is consistent only in yielding ourselves entirely to God and be willing to be guided and influenced by His unseen hand. To be led by the Spirit, to be chose, to choose voluntarily and consciously to submit to the Word of God. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll read this from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 6, 12 through 16. New Living Translation, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into its lustful desire. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of weakness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourself completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are free by grace, by God's grace. Verse 15, so since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Do you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. The Apostle Paul clearly shows that a Christian is to live a certain kind of life, and that is a godly way of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read verses 9 through 11. Paul's letter to the Corinthians says this, beginning in verse 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. When God calls us, brethren, He opens our minds to our human nature. At that time, we see things about us that we hadn't thought about before. The serious purpose of life, the certainty of death, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, all these things were revealed to us. And with our minds open, we may choose to take advantage of God's offer to enter into a covenant with Him and receive His Holy Spirit, and frees us from our slavery of Satan, which is the human nature that Satan really uses to cause us to sin. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." But from the time we were born, Satan began to inject us with his mind thoughts, his attitude, his ways. All of our lives, Satan has continued to broadcast his ways into our lives. And if we allow any of his ways to become part of our lives, then this is what we must overcome. Satan is always with us, brethren. This is what we must understand, that nobody can take away our choice of who we want to be in union with. That's the choice we have to make. When we were called into the relationship with God, he made us well aware that we have a choice, and we can resist and determine in our own lives who we want to be with. But God has put us into a position where we have the opportunity to use our time and energy to make the choice to have a relationship and a union with him. Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Begin reading in verse 13 through verse 15. Joshua chapter 24. "I have given you a land for which you do not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwelled in them. You ate of the vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him sincerely and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that was on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yes, brethren, they had to make a choice, just as you and I have to do today. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, unless you receive her plagues. Brethren, we have been called to come out of this world. God wants us to find a course, a trail, a way that is contrary to the prevailing and normal way of life that seems right to those in our society today. I'll just read this. You don't have to turn there. But Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says this. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. I read this from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will is. The main point in this verse is our responsibility not to copy behavior and customs of the world. And it's so easy. It's so easy. Satan has put all these things out there for us to just behold of our eyes and thoughts to entice us. And he'll even use how we dress. And we see people, oh, look at this style. I want one of this style. Well, is that style? Is it okay in the eyes of God? And all of these things, all of these little things, it's so easy to be drawn back into the world by behavior and customs of our society. Satan has placed before us that seems so innocent. And we see too much of this. Some examples, some seem that it's no harm in using certain types of language that comes out of their mouth to get their point across. I'll just read this. You don't have to turn there, but you make a note of it. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So we can ask ourselves during a conversation, the things that I just said, was it good for necessary edification, spiritual enlightenment? Did it impact grace to those who were listening? Did my conversation leave them with hope and determination? We must be aware how Satan can and will deceive us to say things in our conversation that we should not say, thoughts that we should not have. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Then Paul says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We all know that salt is a preservative. It preserves and keeps things from spoiling. So our speech should be sound and uplifting, with grace and hope to the hearer. You see, Satan has patience. I don't know if you thought about this or not. Satan has patience beyond our belief. But we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long Satan was in the midst, or in the presence of God, before Satan decided to, rebel. We don't know. Satan had patience to wait. He had patience to wait to try and overthrow the throne of God. He waited. He didn't succeed, but he waited. So the same scenario. Satan is waiting. He's waiting on us. He's waiting. He's got patience to wait on us. But we shouldn't let him accomplish this. God has called us out of this world to be a shining light to those in darkness. Our responsibility as a Christian is to choose God's way of life. This should be our lifestyle, and not the lifestyle and customs of this world. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we will read verse 22 through 24. Now we'll again read this from the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, New Living Translation says this: throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature, because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So the force by Satan that is in the world today is dominant, popular, and widespread. It's contrary to God. If we desire to obey God, we must face it with all of our being, having enough strength to endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Again, we will read this from the New Living Bible Translation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Again, Paul says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them. And he brought them all safely through the waters and to the sea on dry land. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea. And all of them ate the same miraculous food, and all of them drank the same miraculous water. So they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet after all of this, God was not pleased with most of them, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. These events happen as warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say that people celebrate it with feasting and drinking, and they indulge themselves in pagan revelry. We must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent the angel of death to destroy them. All of these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close. So this verse, brethren, is directly talking to us. This age is drawing to a close. Now, I want with all of my being for people to stop nodding and sleeping. We got to wake up. Brethren, with our human nature, God is not demanding that we do everything perfectly every day. But what he wants to see is the evidence that we want to be in his kingdom. He wants to see that we are making efforts to walk the talk. He wants to see that we are not going backwards. He wants to see us move off the dead center and begin to grow spiritually. He wants to see that we are using and applying what he has given us to serve him in the church. If you see someone nodding, punch him. Just give him a little nudge. Say something to him that will inspire. Talk to them and help them to wake up. We're sleeping. But we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. God said, I have set before you today life, good, death, and evil. Then we can say, with our life, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua says, but as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord.